And you know, we have a very, very interesting portion to study today in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And this is the question, the final, shall I say, the final thing concerning the walk of the believer, as we've been having it here in the book of Ephesians. We are to walk in unity, in a new creation, in love, in light, in wisdom. And we were finishing in our lesson yesterday on the evidences of a wise Christian. We are to walk in wisdom. We are to walk circumspectly, that is, carefully. We are to redeem the time, buy up the opportunity, take advantage of every opportunity of knowing Christ, and so on. We are not to be foolish ones, but we are to understand what the will of the Lord is, which, of course, you can only find through the study of the Word of God. And finally, the fourth thing, we are not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. These four things are the evidences of a wise Christian. And he closes up with verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And by the way, this is very, very difficult unless you're Spirit-filled. To submit yourselves to others, to one another. It's one of the hardest things for Christians. We're kind of proud, you know. It's too bad. Pride comes in and ruins everything. And by the way, pride is the root sin. Pride is a terrible sin. It's a terrible sin. And yet I want to say to you, my friends, that it's possible for you and me to even be able to submit ourselves to others. Maybe you should say, well, I'm not going to submit myself to him. Well, if you're a Sunday school teacher, you ought to submit yourself to your superintendent or to your pastor, to your board. And I'm afraid that a great deal of our problem in churches is because we're not willing to submit ourselves to others. And Paul says if you're Spirit-filled, you'll not only be filled with praise and worship and thanksgiving, but you'll submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God, in trusting God. Now we come to this last one, the sixth thing. We are to walk in submission, chapter 5, 22 to 6, 9. And this has to do with relationship one to the other. For example, relationship to husbands and wives, relationship between parents and children, relationship between masters and servants. Walking in submission is one of the purposes that the Spirit of God wants us to recognize. It's true there are we may have different positions in the body of Christ, but nevertheless, we are in Christ, and we are here to walk in submission. Before I take it up, I think it might be well for me to suggest something. Here from verse 22, where it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife," and so on. And then, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." In chapter 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, honor your father and mother." And there's instructions to the fathers what they should do, servants and masters, right down to chapter 6, verse 9. And when we come to this question of relationship, before we take it up, I'd like to suggest this. In the New Testament, the church is looked upon from a different angle with respect to its relationship to Christ. For example, in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, the church is looked upon as the body of Christ. And that speaks of life. In chapter 2, the church is looked upon as a temple. And that speaks of worship. And then the church is looked upon as a new man. And that speaks of a new life, a new race of people, a new relationship. And then sometimes the church is looked upon as the bride of Christ. You find that in Corinthians, and you find it here in the relationship between a husband and a wife in chapter 5. Now, he's dealing here. I've had people say to me, "Why, Mr. Mitchell, you can't be in the body and in the bride." Well, can I be in the body and in the temple? One could go over these things, which I'm not going to do, except to point out these are different aspects pointing out relationships to Christ. When you speak of being the body of Christ, he's talking about life. Our union with Christ, just like a body is. When he speaks about us being stones in the temple, both in Ephesians 2 and 1 Peter 2, he's talking about that the church is a place with respect to worship. God will fill the temple We are a temple of God in the Spirit. When he speaks of the bride, he's talking about the relationships and the affections between Christ and his people. Will you keep that in mind now as we come to chapter 5 of Ephesians with respect to husbands and wives from verse 22 through verse 33. He's talking now about the relationship between husbands and wives. I believe he's talking here, of course, of Christian, when you have a Christian husband and a Christian wife. If one or the other is not saved, then I wouldn't come to Ephesians 5, I would go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I'm not going to be dealing with that question today, the matter of an unsaved, if the husband or the wife is unsaved and the other one is saved, what is their relationship to be? You find that, as I say, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But here we have, in verses 22 to the end of the passage, in chapter 5 of Ephesians, the case of a Christian husband and a Christian wife. What is to be their relationship, the one to the other? Now, I would like to ask you to turn, or put down in your notes, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. 1 Peter 3, 1 to 9. And Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to 19. Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to 19. And I want you to notice that each believer has a particular place in the body of Christ. Remember this, will you? Each one has a particular place in the family. The husband has a particular place in the family. The wife has a particular place in the family. And may I suggest that when the husband takes his place and the wife takes her place, then you've got a time of real joy and real blessing. You know, some time ago, I had a man come to see me, and he said, "Dr. Mitchell, do you believe that I'm the head of the house?" And I said, "Yes, yes, this is what the book says. Will you please then go and tell my wife?" Well, I said, "Why don't you tell her?" "Well," he said, "she doesn't believe me. Well, anything you say with her will be all right." And I said, "Well, all right, what do you mean by being the head of the wife?" "It doesn't say the boss. It says the head. That speaks of responsibility. And have you given your wife her rightful place?" And he said, "What is her rightful place?" Well, I said, "Have you given her the place of honor?" And I'm sure if you give your wife the place of honor, she'll recognize you as the head. And he said to me, "And I'd like to go and talk to both of you." I said, I'll tell her that you are the head of the house and the head of the wife. And at the same time, I want you there so I can tell her that she has the place of honor." And he got off of his seat and he said, "I'll go and tell her myself." Well, I said, "Maybe you're the man to do it." And it's a sad thing that I find Christian families where the father or the husband takes a certain attitude and the wife takes an attitude, and you've got trouble. Trouble galore. And the poor kiddies are the ones who suffer. Now, there's no reason why in Christian families, where the husband is a Christian and the wife is a Christian, there's no reason why you can't have a foretaste of heaven on earth. I know I'm living in a day when there's an awful lot of looseness and a lot of, false idea about this question of the relationship between a husband and a wife. In fact, I had a lady in my home yesterday, and her whole life is ruined. The whole family is ruined because the husband is cruel. He claims to be a Christian, supposed to be a Christian leader, and he's not only bossy, but he's cruel. And there's no place for this in the Bible. No place for this in the Bible. God wants us to be happy, and he's made provision for us to be happy. But both have a responsibility, not only the wife, but the husband. And you'll notice in this place, in Ephesians chapter 5, and I want you to read this over and over together with 1 Peter chapter 3, the first 9 verses. The husband has a particular place in the family, and nobody can take his place. And the wife has a particular place. Nobody can take her place. And then he goes on to speak of the relationship between the parents, especially the father, and the children. The father is a place of responsibility. This is what headship means. He's not the boss. He's not the pope. He's not an autocrat. He's the one who is responsible to God for his family. God does not hold the mother responsible. God holds the father responsible. Now, I'm talking to Christian parents. And my friend, if you take your place of responsibility before God concerning your family, I don't think you'll have any trouble with your family. And I'm sure that God will make it a wonderful place of joy, of blessing between the husband and the wife and the children, so that people will know that here indeed is a Christian family. And if ever we needed Christian families, it's today. Wherever we live, in your neighborhood, among your friends, the tremendous need for Christian families living in a place of peace and of joy and of blessing. And as we take up these verses in Ephesians 5, I pray that the Lord will make it very, very precious to you. I know some of you are not going to like it. I'm going to say some things I'm sure you won't like. But let's be real about it. Let's be honest about it. What saith the Scriptures? Now, be in mind what I say. What does the Bible say? I know that Christ said he wants your joy filled full. And how can your joy be filled full when you're fighting, spatting, not taking your place? I tell you, my Christian friend, if ever there was a need for Christian families, for Christian homes where the Lord is magnified and where love is manifested, it's today. It's today. Even among Bible-loving Christians, we push the Scripture beyond what is written. And I know what I'm going to say on this passage. And I'm sure that some of you are going to write me. And I'll be glad to have you write me. And if I'm wrong on this, you put me straight. But you be sure and bring your Bible. I wouldn't dare teach anything that's not in the Scriptures. That's not true. And if I'm wrong, you put me right. Oh, the need for husbands and wives to live in that place of joy and blessing. I tell you again, your home can be a foretaste of heaven if you take your place, your rightful place before God. So I'm going to stop right here, and will you read Ephesians chapter 5, 22 to 33? Read it and reread it and reread it, and we'll see what's going to happen. The Lord bless you today.